Aloha, Mud Babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your Tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. I am in Las Vegas this week, appearing at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club in the beautiful MGM Grand. I'm going to be in my room today doing the podcast. Right this freaking second. I'm going to be with a guest that you've heard before. I've been on his show. He's been on mine, Mark Germain. I call him Mr. KFI. He says Mr. KABC because he was there longer. We'll talk about that and much, much more on today's Remasculate. So let's join it. I recorded this just a little bit ago with Mr. Mark Germain, Mr. KABC, Mr. KFI, Mr. Guest on the show. Here we go. In the room of, where are we? The Signature at the MGM Grand.
Right.
And I'm sitting here with Mark Germain. I use his real name because you don't want to say, I say KFI, and you're like, hey, what? That was like 10 years ago.
17 years ago.
That was like 17 years ago. Can we stop that now?
That was my son's life ago.
Yeah, yeah. But don't you feel like that is still part of, you know? Are you Mr. KABC?
Well, I was KABC for longer than I was KFI. I was 10 years at KABC, so.
But now don't you understand how people kind of only know you?
Associate you
from
with
the very first
thing.
Like one thing. That, you know, I heard you at KFI, and that's it. That's
what's surprising is, considering how little time I was actually on KFI, it's surprising how many people remember that show and just, when I was gone, they just found something new, you know, which is kind of the moral of all show business is as much as they love you.
You're only as good as your last project.
Yeah, yeah. They will find something new, and that's fine. But it frustrated me that, you know, 10 years at one radio station, you'd like to think that maybe they would have heard that you were still on the air. If they like that show, why wouldn't they like you at another radio? You're the same guy, right?
And so mentally you go, those bastards.
Well, you must have had a little of that in Denver, right? You were on one radio station and went to another, and not everyone followed you.
Not everyone followed you, and not everyone even knew
you. Well, that's what I mean.
I mean, not even...
They had no knowledge that
you... I always wondered what happened to you. Well, I was 2 years on another radio station. Yeah. That's what happened to me.
Yeah. I didn't go away.
you did.
Yeah. No, it's hard for people to understand and they call the radio station, they complain, and the radio station, once they make a decision that you're not there anymore,
you're gone. You're gone.
They hope you die on the way home. You know, when you start there, your family, they say things like, you know, welcome to the family. And, you know, really
make you feel like you would have to poop on the program director's desk to get fired.
Right.
You feel that.
And you start. And then once you're comfortable there, it turns out you're not really, or maybe it is like most people's family, where at a certain point you're just taken for granted. If you get hit by a bus, well, that would be too bad.
Yeah, and you kind of sort of hate family after a while. Are you coming in again tomorrow? Oh God!
Thanksgiving, really? Again? Oh.
Right. Yeah. So I took you today. Today, well, let me go back up here. It's NFR time in Vegas.
Which stands for what? I see those letters everywhere.
National Finals Rodeo.
Okay.
So that's what it's.
Is it a real rodeo's final, like the top guys compete, then the one guy gets the big crown and the belt buckle? Is that going to be what it is?
That's okay. And you're not much into this, right? As city folk, you were...
I grew up in Los Angeles, so there wasn't a lot of rodeos going on in L.A. But I did live near the fairgrounds, so for the last, 15 years that I lived in L.A., I lived near the fairgrounds. But I guess I have a little bit of country in me.
Did you go to this, or did you just hear it off in the distance?
Well, the county fair was only like 2 weeks a year. I think it was in September. So it isn't like a year-round. There are events going on year-round, but the county fair is only 2 weeks a year.
Right.
But yeah, well, and we'd go most year because it was like, the petting zoo for the kids and that kind of stuff.
I heard in L.A. you are the petting zoo for the kids.
That's also true.
Well, for the older guys.
Until the police ask you to leave. That's mostly true, yeah.
So if you have never really experienced this, you don't know what it's like to see the monkey ride the dog then, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
See?
Monkeys riding dogs?
Right.
That's an event?
A quote from me, as my friends know this, it's not a rodeo till the monkey rides the dog. Monkey's name is Whiplash.
And wait, there's one monkey and one dog, and they travel around the country riding each other?
As far as I know, okay. And I talked to the...
But isn't like Shamu where there's 19 of them, but everyone...
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Because I was talking to the rodeo announcer, the national guy that does the entire, you know, rodeo thing. He was
right.
He was at my show at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club here that night. And I had said, "Does the monkey ride the dog?" And he goes, "Sometimes, if we need extra time or there's a break in the show for an ESPN and we do the..."
Uh-huh.
And I go, he goes, "Yeah, and that's when Whiplash does it." Whiplash! I go, "Yeah, Whiplash."
Is the monkey or the dog is Whiplash?
The monkey is...
Okay.
Is yeah, because the monkey just is Whiplash. His head just...
Uh-huh.
And I go, "Is he glued down?" He goes, "No, he just holds on for dear life."
Right.
And if you've never seen this or anybody else has ever seen it,
right.
Google. You've got to see
a
little monkey
dog.
In a cowboy hat, in a Roy Rogers outfit,
okay.
Holding on to a sheepdog.
All right, okay.
It's the funniest thing ever.
All right. And do you get the sense, though, that that monkey could ride any dog?
Wow. No, I don't know. He might be a real rodeo monkey where he just, "Slap me on a dog. I'll show this bitch how to do it." No, I hadn't.
Right, right. I got a whole bunch of questions, but I don't think you'll have any of the answers about this.
No, because I'm not. I'm not Mr. KABC.
No.
I can't just pull answers out of my. You know, I read in an Egyptian newspaper once that.
Is that your invitation to me? Is that what that was? Dead on. By the way, it sounds exactly.
Did it just
like,
sound?
I was like, "Wow, am I talking while I'm not moving my mouth?"
No, nobody ever does.
No.
Have you ever had somebody do an impression of
you? Oh, yeah. You know, there's a guy who's worked in L.A. In fact, he's back on in mornings. He's a really good friend of mine. In fact, we did a morning show for a couple months ago. Brian Whitman is his name. And he did a version of me. And basically, he never really got the voice, but he got the cadence down.
And that's very important.
Yeah. And that's half of it. That's half the impression is the words that you choose and the way you speak, as opposed to getting the voice right.
Right.
So he had half of it down, and it was kind of a funny, but there are people that he's an amazing impressionist, and he can do, you know, Bill Clinton, he
right.
can do George Bush, he can do, and then there's certain people that he says, "I just can't get it," like he can't get Obama. And Obama's got kind of a weird way of speaking
I don't get
and stuff,
either,
or...
But. But, you know, but Daryl
Hammett. That's your politics, yeah.
Daryl Hammett had said years ago, I had him on the radio show interviewing, and he said just getting a few things down
uh-huh.
was very, like you said, the cadence or
right.
the words that they use. Like,
right.
you know, if you watched a lot of people that used to do Bush,
right.
there were certain just things that they
not going to do it.
Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Or Reagan is.
Point a light. Point a, you know.
Yeah, points a light.
Points
yeah.
a light.
Or Reagan. Well,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well.
Everyone can do a little Reagan.
Right. But, and have you noticed that anybody that is an impressionist does those impressions?
The hacks.
Is that what it is?
I think so. I think the better impressionist is not going to do, he's not going to do, the scene from A Few Good Men when he's doing Nicholson. You know, you can't handle it. It's like...
Yeah.
You
what if Nicholson was a dentist? You can't handle the tooth. Thank you. Good night. You know, that kind of stuff that they do.
Yeah. Well, you've seen enough hack, you know, impressionists, right?
I mean, right. But every day, I mean, I don't even want to say the hack, and I do agree with you.
Yeah.
But if you see, like, Rich Little or those guys,
yeah.
they're certain.
He's
like,
still, you know, Rich Little is still, he's got Vegas dates. He's got to be in his mid to late 80s.
Really?
But he's doing all these, he's not doing Jay-Z, you know? He's not doing anyone contemporary. He's not doing Snoop Dogg. He's
still, ladies and gentlemen, before you die, let me do Walter Brennan one more time.
Yeah, exactly.
For you.
Well, who wants to, how's that contemporary and getting an audience in Vegas? But I guess there are people who, you know, grew up watching him on The Tonight Show and want him to do.
Have you seen anybody do much contemporary? Because that was where I was going to go with this, is that
yeah.
no matter even the clubs, you don't see. Christopher Walken is one of the newest guys, and how long has that been around?
Yeah, yeah,
that's one
yeah.
of the newest. Oh, I love Chris. Or, but now that there's a whole shitload of new. Can I say that? Yeah, it's my show. There's a whole bunch of new celebrities and performers,
right.
but nobody's really doing them. Is that because they're not distinctive enough, or what
know.
Do you think?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I think there are comedians who latch on to someone who's contemporary that do performance, but maybe that's not their whole act. Whereas Rich Little doesn't tell jokes, he just does his impressions, and that was his act for 60 years.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's kind of a sad shadow of itself. I'm sure it's I would have a tough time finding humor in it.
Right.
But there are people who do. I'm trying to think of someone who. Well, you know what? There's you can always make fun of musicians. So like David Spade does a great Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Which. Okay, Tom Petty's been around for
30
years.
What year is Tom Petty?
Yeah, okay, but nonetheless, Tom Petty is still contemporary, right? My kids know who Tom Petty is.
Yeah, he's the guy slamming country music these days.
Is that what he's doing?
Oh, yeah.
He just had a whole thing.
He doesn't like the new... And everybody listening to this show know I've mentioned this for me, but Tom Petty just does not like the new... He called it... it's just rock music. It's back to... I wish I knew. I can't remember the exact quote, but he's actually saying
he's
it's
such
nothing
a guy who seems to love music. He's one of those guys that's like a musicologist that happens to be a musician and performer. That I wonder if he's really slamming it the way you interpret he's slamming it, or is he saying I'd like something fresh and new, or is he saying they're really just they're calling them they put on a cowboy hat, but they're really singing rock and roll.
That's what he's saying.
Well, I mean, that's a fair criticism, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought you were saying it wasn't.
I know people are sitting almost getting tired of this. My girlfriend jumped my shit the other day about it. She's like, all right, I know you don't like it. I do. Right. So can we just like, it's not.
Yeah, you got country music from, and again, I'm looking at it from a very amateur, novice perspective. It's not really my genre of music, but... I do, you know, I know who Trisha Yearwood is. I know the pretty girl country music is what I like to call it. You said something the other day when we were on a show together about bro country.
Bro country. That was what.
So is that like
that's the new term.
And would that be like a Trace Atkins? He's more like original country, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And but Jason Aldean, is that bro country?
A little bit. It's Luke Bryan. Uh-huh. Florida Georgia Line, a lot of the brand new stuff. They're mixing actual rappers, real rappers, into country music.
Right, and you have a problem with that.
Yeah, remember, don't you think, please don't turn this off because I'm going to bitch again, but like it's got to be that kind of
story song. I mean, there's, you know, I can find something good in almost every genre of music where when a guy pulls up to me next to a car and I hear dum dum dum, I think who wants to listen to that? But you'll find someone that does that music and you go, well, that's pretty good. I don't particularly care for rap music because
mm-hmm.
I'm a 46-year-old white guy. But when I see when I see Eminem perform, I go, well, that's something special. That is something special.
Yeah, that he can do it that fast.
And whatever.
But his lyrics are good.
They're
that's
very
another thing. His
complicated
lyrics.
And fast, and it's clever, and it's interesting, and it's weird, and it's also got all those elements of rap, which is, look at me, and look how great I am. But there's always that element in most popular music. But if you ask me what was I listening to before I came over? My wife was humming something in the background. She was humming Bus Stop from the Hollies.
Uh-huh.
So I went and like Googled, or YouTube.
Great song.
Great song, right? And you just go.
Bus stop will not make under my umbrella.
And then I started going on this Hollies riff, and I was looking at a long, tall woman in a black
dress.
And
uh-huh.
I was like, what the? I've heard that song 100 times.
And didn't know who it was?
No, I knew it was the Hollies, but I didn't know what the lyrics were. Do you know what
he ain't heaven? No, what?
What the lyrics are to that
long,
song.
Long, tall woman in a black
Other than
dress.
That, do you know any of the lyrics?
Possibly, because I'm one of those guys that love lyrics, but right. I can't think of it right. What's the first line?
And maybe well, it's all about up. Being in the FBI, and there's a whole line about, and the woman's 5'9", and there's...
She was a hold of my right. I can sort of remember
Well,
that,
the lyrics... When you hear, because I've heard that song 10,000 times, but I never took the time to. Now you have all these great resources to look up lyrics.
And as I say, Google, bitches.
Yeah, Google, or even sometimes on the YouTube video of the song, someone put the
lyrics
words,
there.
Yeah, the lyrics there, which is great because you go, I never knew what the hell they were singing about.
Well, that's sad because you actually grew up in the album days where you had the lyrics on albums.
Some albums. And I used to get really pissed off when you go buy a new album and you'd open it up and the dust jacket had nothing on it. It was just white.
Or the dust jacket had nothing but albums advertised for other artists. You ever get those? We pull it out and it's like,
remember that.
Just albums, just little albums. Coming soon, or get this, or buy other albums by. And,
but I always thought that was kind of a, like, a rip-off if they didn't include the words. Like,
oh, me too. Because right? You had to lay on the floor.
And try to decipher what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, if they didn't have the lyrics, you mean? Yeah.
Did you ever put your actual speakers beside your head, like headphones?
Sorry, my phone's ringing. This is my mechanic, and I.
Oh, do you need to take that? Because we could hit pause on.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead. He's going to give me bad news, I'm sure.
Uh-oh.
Mechanic.
Okay. Yeah. So back to the question: did you ever lay on the floor with your speakers on beside your head? Because I didn't have headphones for a while when I was a kid, so I would take the two stereo speakers and put them beside my head and try not to turn it up
I didn't
so
do
loud
that.
It destroyed my hearing.
See, here's the thing. My parents were very odd. My parents were both teachers. And my dad specifically didn't believe in toys. Have I talked about this before?
No. Uh-uh.
So my dad didn't believe in toys. So what my dad would do for like Christmas.
Yeah, what'd the Grinch do for Christmas?
My parents were very generous. And we had stuff that, like, no kid should have had. But it was either used or it was new stuff. But I never had Legos. I never had G.I. Joe doll. I never had any of that stuff. But my parents wanted – we had nice things as kids. And so one of the things, my dad was into gadgets. He was into technology. And so I always had, like, a full-blown stereo, like, really – high-end, good quality stereo equipment when I was 10 years old.
You mean like Panasonic, Pioneer,
that kind of. And I'd get a pair of headphones, and I'd get a cassette deck, and you know, with Dolby B and C. I mean, we had nice stuff. And so when kids would come over to my house, they thought we were rich because I had my own
color
TV.
That's the first thought that just went through my head.
I know you would think that, but if your parents didn't buy shit toys for. You know, add up the cost of all the toys that you had.
Yeah, we bought
as a kid.
You 40 things at $10 a piece.
And I got one $400 thing. We're adjusting for inflation.
Yeah.
But in reality, and that's why, like, as a kid, I knew how to touch type with two hands fast when I was 10 years old because my parents didn't buy us toy typewriters. My dad would go to the Salvation Army and buy a real typewriter. So I knew how to, and that's how I know how to fix stuff. And, you know, when the ribbons would get stuck or the keys would get stuck. But we had IBM Selectric typewriters when I was 10, 12 years old. I had an IBM, and those were.
You know how much those were?
I know, they were a fortune. But they didn't buy them new. They didn't go to, you know, IBM and buy that stuff. They would buy that stuff.
They had a friend that knew how to get that
and
stuff.
And occasionally we had, I remember my parents had a friend that was a pawn dealer, owned a pawn shop. And he'd call my dad when he had something that he knew, you know, my dad would be interested in. And so we always had nice things, but we didn't have toys. And so, and here's another one, you'll like this. My parents didn't believe in guns because they're crazy liberals. And so there's a picture of my oldest brother who is about, in the picture, looks like he's about 3 or 4 years old, and he's in a cowboy uniform, and he's got a holster.
Uh-huh.
And what's in the holster?
A gun?
A gavel.
A gavel?
A gavel. See, my parents believed in the law, they just didn't believe in guns.
So I don't remember ever seeing Matt Dillon
no.
carrying a gavel
no one,
around
no
to
one
serve
out justice.
Yeah.
Meeting out justice with a gavel.
Have
That's
gavel will travel.
That's right.
Was not a show.
No, I know. It's weird, but so anyway. And if you've been to my house, you saw I've just got computers and technology. It's just it's
I was
just,
in the I think it was in the west wing of your house.
Yeah,
the
massive estate.
Massive, massive estate.
Yeah,
where you were parking your own cars in neighbors' driveways.
That's true. It's a little embarrassing, but it's true. Yeah.
Oh, so, you know, I think I was I started to take us down. Oh, the NFR.
Yes.
Get back to that. Because I wanted to say, I took you into the Western Wear exhibit. It's the giant hall over here at the MGM Grand.
Right. Which the whole city's going to, I know that the Thomas and Mack Center, which is where they play basketball games.
Yeah.
It's going to be a place where you go and shop for Western
like
Wear.
Country Christmas.
Yeah,
however they do this. But you first walked in and were like, I could tell by looking at it, you were like, who are this? What is all this? And all of a sudden he goes, wonder how many NPR listeners are in here.
I don't. Yeah, I didn't get a sense that was a big place for for National Public Radio.
And I have to say, been around.
I didn't see a lot of Terry Gross stickers on the fans there. No,
I didn't see one Rachel Maddow T-shirt
MSNBC.
On anybody either.
No.
I was going to take us down another place, but I'll stay on the rodeo for
a
second.
Okay.
But I was even taken back by how many ropeable things were in there. All the
ropeable things.
All the fake little the bulls and the steers, and there was big ones and little ones.
Right.
And that one was shooting out of a mechanical chute.
Yeah.
And then we walk around the corner, and they've got table versions, and they're roping on the. And you were like, I should. And maybe we should get one.
Yeah, bring it home.
Put it in the bedroom. And I'm like, no, you got a wife. That's what those are. Run!
Yeah, and expensive stuff. I mean, there were $500, $600 cowboy boots. And we were looking at, saddles.
Yeah,
horse saddles. And they were thousands of dollars.
What was that one you turned around? $3,500?
Well, I think it was just an average one was $3,500. I think my guess is the sky's the limit. You probably spend $15,000,
$20,000. That's your ass. It's very important.
I know, but...
You don't want like a big...
Can I just get a piece of foam and put that on? No?
No.
Do you get the sense that the people who are buying $3,500 saddles, are they putting it on their horse? Or is that like something you put in your living room as a display item?
I think that's... No. Those ones we were looking at, those were definitely...
For use.
Those, you'd have gone around, which we didn't see, but there's those ones that are just inlaid with, jewels and silver.
Right.
And those are your saddles.
Yeah, for show saddles. Uh-huh.
But that one we were looking at, that was definitely like a working man's saddle. And I think that's the difference between having a good pair of work gloves and just a pair of gloves, or that super fancy tractor compared to, I can get out in the sun and boil my head in this.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You have no...
I know what a tractor
is. Hey, city boy!
Well, how country are you? You identify with the lifestyle of country, but I don't see you out there... Did you ever own a horse?
Yes.
You've owned a horse?
Yeah, I've owned horses. I had a donkey that I used to ride for a while. My dad, when I was a kid, raised...
How about a dog that a monkey would ride? Did you have one of those?
I think I have one of those now. I think I have that same. But my dad used to raise Charley cattle. We had a smaller ranch.
So you grew up on a ranch. Okay.
Yeah, I've had my hand shoved up a cow trying to pull out a calf before.
Wow. So, okay. All right. Okay. You have country cred.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
and I grew up in a smaller town, and my parents were definitely their parents were farmers, and their farm. You know, my dad's dad was a cop, though. That's what he did. He was head of detectives down in Houston. And arrested, I don't know if I've, I'm sure I haven't told you this, he arrested Clyde Barrow from Bonnie and Clyde before he was Clyde.
Yeah. When he was solo?
Yeah.
Before he teamed up?
Yeah. He arrested him in Houston for something.
Well, I saw they're making another movie or a miniseries or something. Some TV network is A&E or someone's promoting. They're doing a week-long.
Three channels. Two nights.
Oh, that's what it is. Three channels.
Right.
Is there a lot of interest in Bonnie and Clyde? Well, I'm not quite sure what the... I mean, obviously there is. There's books written about them and movies and stuff. But they were just... I mean, we're back to glamorizing criminals. I'm not quite sure what that's
about.
Isn't
that what we're doing constantly now? Look at Breaking Bad.
We could do 5 hours just on Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I know you love that show.
I really, really, especially the last eight episodes were unbelievable, and the ending was fantastic. Did you watch? Were you a fan?
I have never seen it, but I intend to because everyone
I didn't get into it when it was originally on. Everyone kept saying you got to watch this show, and then I got into it between the eighth season or the fifth season was split up by eight episodes and another eight episodes, and there's a year apart. Well, I got into it during that year apart.
So you were able to go back, Netflix it, and catch up?
I Netflixed it, and you binge watch.
Right. I've done that on several shows
now. It's
like
54 hours of Breaking Bad, 56, whatever it is, hours a show. So you got a lot to catch up. And then you start realizing, I'm only in season 2, episode 4. I got a ways to go. And then you just start watching them concurrently. And when there's no commercials and there's nothing to stop you, you really can burn through them pretty fast.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing show for a couple reasons. One is the star of the show, Bryan Cranston, is unbelievable because he's on the screen 80% of the time. Imagine watching someone, what's 80% of 50 hours? So 35 hours of him on the screen, and you can't take your eyes off
him. And he's still compelling.
He's so compelling and so interesting and dynamic, and it's partly the writing, but it's really him. He's unbelievable in the show. You just go, that kind of acting we don't see very often. There's not.
Well, I know that Anthony Hopkins wrote him.
Yeah, yeah,
it
said like you're unbelievable. Yeah, yeah.
Sir Anthony Hopkins, yeah, who's one of the greatest actors.
Is kissing your ass. Yeah, yeah. How great must that be? And he seems also, I don't know if you've seen all the publicity that he did right up to when the show aired. And then afterwards, he was doing a lot of stuff. He seems like a great guy. Like there are certain people where you just, there's no, I'm a celebrity and treat me like one. You don't get that sense at all.
He's not Nick Cage?
Yeah. By the way, you know, Nick Cage lives here.
That's
Vegas.
What I heard.
I'll show you his house.
Oh, okay, we'll have to do that. I heard it because I hear he drops in on shows around
here. Here's the thing about him. He's had really big mansions with gates and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The house he's in now is in a non-gated neighborhood. He's got a fence in front of his house, but the gates are open, and he's got a pickup truck.
He's broke.
Well, I don't think so. As much money as he spent and as much money as he and the IRS and had to sell houses and stuff, I still think he's got a lot of money. I don't think he's really broke. And plus, he's still acting in movies. I bet he's got 3 or 4 movies in the can.
They go direct?
No, I know, because I want to goof on him too, because we know what he is, and it's like it's... He's ripe for comedy. Truth is, he's been really good in a couple things.
Oh, yes.
Right?
I mean,
Leaving Las Vegas, for example, is
one of the best movies of all time.
Great performance.
One of those cinematic masterpieces.
He's great. And so as much as you want to go, well, yeah, but he was also in, what's the movie?
Saucer's Apprentice. Yeah,
yeah,
he was
exactly.
Also in
yeah.
Don't Drive Angry or whatever.
Right. And you just go, come on, he's a lightweight. And then you go, well, how about watch this? So anyway, he's got a wife and a kid. Kid goes to a private school, and apparently he drives his son to the private school, drops him off. And it's like you almost don't want to believe that someone that's that big of a star is driving his kid to drop him off at school. But he does. And he's got a good reputation here. People don't say he's an asshole or he's too big or he's
no Vince Neil. Or,
yeah, he's not with an entourage. I told you I saw Vince Neil. I texted you when it happened. I was going to pick up someone at the airport, and he and his girlfriend or his wife, I don't know which, were walking, and I kind of recognized who he was. And he does look a lot like you, by the way. It is very funny. And he kind of looks down, like you can tell, I don't want to talk to anybody. Not that I would have wanted to talk to him, and I'm not a fan. But the girlfriend looked at me, and she smiled. She seemed sweet, right. or the wife.
Yeah, the big Amazon blonde.
She's a very attractive blonde. Yeah. But I saw him, but he didn't have an entourage. He was like coming off a flight, and he's had trouble here. He doesn't have a great reputation.
That's what I mean. I had heard that about how he went into some bar or some show one night and got in confrontation with somebody at during the show.
He's always getting into fight, driving drunk, and just doing stupid stuff. That you know, you're just gonna shake him and go. You don't have to be that guy all the time.
I'm a rock star. I gotta act like a rock star.
I'm a rock star.
Right? I gotta have a tune.
You were a rock star.
Oh, he's playing. I thought he's part of Motley Crue's going to do a.
Is it Motley Crue?
Yeah.
Is it?
Isn't it?
Is it?
You don't think it is anymore.
No, is it all the same guys?
Yeah. No. It's the guys.
Tommy Lee on
Lee
drums
and all of them, yeah.
And Ace Frehley or whatever his name is.
That was Kiss. Apparently your parents didn't buy the right albums for those expensive turntables.
I did an interview with the drummer for Kiss, whose name is Eric Singer. And I had him on. He loves talk radio. I had him on for 2 hours on a Sunday night. This is maybe 2 years ago. And he's a really bright guy and a really interesting guy. He came to the band kind of late. He's not the original. There's been 3 drummers. He's the third. The only 2 guys that have been in, I think, the entire time are Paul Stanley and Tung. What's his name?
Tung.
Thank you. I'm glad you're not.
Wow, why can't I think? I know who exact. Now we sound
Family
horrible.
Jewels is Family his TV Jewel.
Gene
show.
Simmons. Gene Simmons.
Yeah, yeah. He's careful not to say anything bad about those guys, but I think the only true musician in the... I mean, the drummer, his dad was a drummer, so he grew up as a drummer listening to jazz music. That's his favorite music. He wasn't talking about all the influences in rock and roll that made him a Kiss drummer, but he's a really good drummer. I know him through a mutual friend. And the mutual friend, in fact, it's Lisa Goich.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How I know
whose
him.
Husband is
whose husband
Guns N' Roses.
Was with Guns N' Roses. And he says, this guy's a great drummer. And he, you know, so we talked about everything from, you know, who are the great drummers and what makes a drummer great. We talked about Ringo Starr. Is Ringo Starr a great drummer or a terrible drummer? And from my perspective, musicians always slag on
Ringo
is
always.
Right. He was the right guy at the right time.
Yeah.
It's not because he was a great drummer. And he said, you know what makes a great drummer is what have you created? What have you come up with?
What did you do something different?
What did you do different? And the truth is, Ringo Starr may not have been the wildest, the fastest, the loudest, the hardest, but he did come up with some interesting, you know, drum
and
beats.
And Ringo himself said he did it because he plays wrong. Because he plays opposite, so it was his own created. I had to create this thing. So
he did do something that, you know, is he has a unique sound. Is he a great drummer? Probably technically
he's
not a great drummer.
He's no Vinnie Paul, but you gonna stare at me on that one too?
Well, I don't know who Vinnie Paul is. Who's Vinnie Paul?
The world's best rock and roll drummer.
From what?
Pantera, the band Pantera. And Hell Yeah, and Damage Plan.
So you're kind of a hybrid. You love country. You don't like girl country or bro country.
I don't mind some girl country. I like
okay.
Some like Miranda Lambert and some of that. The older Loretta Lynn, love some. But I just think a lot of the...
Loretta Lynn's old country, though. Yeah. Even though she's a girl, it's not girl country.
My new favorite is Ashley Monroe, a new girl named Ashley Monroe, who's part of Pistol Annie's with Miranda Lambert. But there's a lot of that girly stuff.
And then you like hair metal, right?
Yeah.
The Pantera's hair metal.
Yeah.
So that's 80s,
yeah.
hair metal.
And
Do you like Poison? Do you like those guys?
Do you like Rat? I liked Rat.
Uh-huh.
I liked Rat. I liked some of the hair bands like Bullet Boys and...
I don't remember them. Don't know them.
But you were an MTV person though, right?
So you
Quiet Riot, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's not my favorite. I mean, what's weird is musically I was born 15 years too late. So I was born in 67, and I really
still listen to Doris Day and stuff like that?
Not that, no. I like...
Que sera, sera.
But you know what? You listen to some of that old stuff, and you go, there's a lot of elements. There's, you know, where they had big bands, and they had violins, and they had a lot of elements to it. And I'm a very oral person, A-U-R-A-L, right? My ears are, I mean, not like I'm...
oral, not oral.
No, not with the mouth, with the ears.
Ears, okay.
And when I hear something that has a lot of elements to it, you know, a lot of...
Yeah.
I'm always impressed, even if it's not music I care for.
Yeah. Well, you and I had talked about this before with, like, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
My parents were like, turn that shit off!
Right.
And you listen to it now and you go... That's not rock and roll. I hear an orchestra.
Right.
There's violins.
Right, right, right.
There's like 18 layers to this compared to just... Which
is why I didn't really care for the hair metal bands. I didn't think there was a lot to them. I also don't... Here's the thing that I don't like because I'm an oral person. I don't like a lot of compression. So when I hear a really compressed voice, which is all those guys had a lot of compression on their voice, it gives me a headache. It's not the turn that rock and roll music down because I love rock and roll, but it's that compress. And they didn't have those techniques with microphones in the 60s.
No.
You know, they couldn't do that with, they didn't have those tools. And also that's why I don't like a lot of the new music when they, with when they do the voice thing where they, if you can't sing, you can
auto-tune.
That also gives me a headache because it just, it sounds so phony to me. It doesn't sound like a human voice.
You didn't like that, like Cher's when, isn't love after love?
Well, she was the first person, that was the first time we heard that, right? Was
yeah.
It, and you were like, well, that's a weird effect. What is that? Cher can sing. So she wasn't, they weren't doing that to get her to be on pitch. They did it as an effect.
Yeah.
A lot of these younger singers, I sound like an old man, a lot of young...
Get my finger!
A lot of young singers that have to do that, that tells me they can't sing. They don't know how to hit the notes. They don't know how to... And also the caterwauling I don't like. You know, a lot of young black women specifically seem to...
I call that the vocal Olympics.
Yeah.
Where they just got to, you know... Oh, say, can we see your...
No one wants that. So the older I get, the more music I'm...
By the way, we're changing this show's title today to Two Cranky White Guys.
Is that right?
Yeah, today we're...
Is that what we sound like? I don't know. Is this interesting to anybody but us?
Of course it is.
It is?
Yeah.
I just know the older I get, the more... music appreciation, like the wider my musical taste is. And I think in most other things in life, the older you get, the less you like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas
I know
music,
what I like and I'm sticking
right,
to
right,
it.
Right,
right, right. This is what...
Right. But the older I get, the more I go...
I like porridge.
So I don't know. And because we've got now the greatest music libraries on our desk at home with a computer or an iPad, you can find everything.
Let's take this down this road. Since we're in Vegas, talking to somebody that lives in Vegas, you brought up that ability of music. Explain the million-dollar Vegas DJs to me. Because it's playing other people's records. You've got, was it on your iPod and it's hooked to a program? You're acting like you're doing something up there? I don't know. Come on, cranky white guy, help me out here.
So here's what I know about this, because I've never been to a club where there's a DJ and he's being paid $300,000 for the night. I've never
and
been.
And you're hearing, but you know about this.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
No.
It's Vegas.
No, there's guys at Tissot, and
Billboards. The MGM Grand has a DJ's picture on it.
Right, Cassian or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, who are these people? And you look them up, and you find out they made $40 million last year playing other people's music.
Yeah.
How can that be?
Because they were able to put a... between songs.
Yeah, they meld... I don't get it. I don't get paying the Kardashians $100,000 to come here for a night, and you can be in the club when it's...
When they walk around.
Khloe Kardashian's birthday, you know? Well, what do you get to jump on top of her? What do you ride her like a monkey does with the dog, or what do you get for what are they getting for $100,000? I don't get.
I would pay $100,000
for that
to watch Chloe ride a dog. Come on, Whiplash, give her a chance.
Yeah. So I don't get it. I understand it, and here's how I understand it. If you want a good table, you got to pay $10,000 for the night, and you got to buy $1,000 bottles of Grey Goose or $2,000 bottles of Grey Goose. Now,
not Cristal.
What, that too. Then those are $6,000 or whatever it is. You can't. It's cartoonish. The numbers. You'd think it's in Iraqi dinars. You know how $6,000 for a bottle of anything.
Is this American or in lira?
wait. Right. So there are people that are and they're young and they've got money. And I don't know who they are or how they got their money because they're not. You know, big names. They're not celebrities. They're just guys with a table, and they've got some good-looking girls with them, and they're paying $10,000 for the table, and they're buying bottles of champagne for people they don't know. That's just a world I've never visited, nor do I really want to, frankly. It's just too weird for me.
It's either drug money or oil money.
Yeah, or they're, Middle Easterners, or they're something. There's something, but that's... This is a weird town because the money is so perverted. You know, a friend of mine was telling me that if you want to park at a hotel on a weekend, you got to tip the guy $100.
What?
Now, $100 to park your car.
That's not a typical valet.
No, is that the valet? If you go to, if you're a hotel guest, you can park for free, and it's a, like just now when I came here,
yeah,
I parked.
Step out and give you a ticket.
When I they'll give me a ticket, and I'll give them $2 for bringing my car back to me. Right, that's the deal.
Yeah.
On a Friday or a Saturday night, they close down the valet and they say hotel guests only. If you're not a hotel guest, expect to give a $100 tip if you want them to take your car. Or go park yourself. You can go park yourself, but you're going to walk.
You go park yourself, buddy. So you, that makes, those guys make a great living just
you
to
can.
Park cars.
Yeah, you can. This town runs on tips. People don't get paid well.
Show me your tips.
They make money on tips. Now, you were telling me sometimes you get tipped here.
I got tipped $100 one night from a guy after a show. He shook my hand and there's a $100 bill, and I, you know, because I was kind of surprised when I moved my hand. He goes, "That's for making her laugh. I'm gonna get laid tonight." This older guy.
Wow.
You know, so.
Wow.
And I've had that happen two or three times over the years here, but not. Yeah. It's not a regular occurrence.
And have you ever been tipped anywhere outside of Vegas?
One time in Fort Worth, somebody gave me a $20 tip. Just gave me a tip. And every once in a while, at a lot of shows, because I sell T-shirts every now and
merch.
Then. Merch. Somebody will slide me extra. Or pay me with a $50 or a $20 T-shirt. He'll keep it, Jake.
Right.
You know, I'll get that kind of.
Right. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, but the kind of money that gets thrown around here is obscene. It's just obscene. I heard about a guy that was a businessman, came here from Japan a couple weeks ago, one of the bigger high-end hotels, lost $15.6 million.
And if he didn't walk out immediately and shoot himself in the head, right. It must have been okay with him.
He could afford it. Yeah. Well, we were talking about how do you tell your wife, I went to...
How everything in Vegas?
What?
How everything in Vegas? Oh, baby, it's all good.
But it's true.
You didn't lose $15 million again, did you? Uh-oh. I'm getting you in trouble. Yeah, why do you do that guy's show? Why do you go on there?
So, yeah, $15
million. $15 million and not blink.
Not blink. I think your room gets comped, so you got that going.
That's worth right there.
Yeah, although room rates are really pretty reasonable. Vegas is—they're
not the $12.99 that I used to get in '87. I used to come
$12.99 for a shithole, right? I mean, a real.
You call circus?
I do call circus a shithole. Yeah, you can still get rooms for $40 at Circus.
Yeah, this was late '80s, and you know, you just go, I just need a room. Well, okay, put you in the way in the back, and
right.
But they all used to be really cheap like that because they wanted you to stay and spend your money.
Right.
And now it's just we want you to.
It's both.
Spend your money.
It's both. You can still get, you know, I get these, you know, once you get a player's card and you play at all, even if you're not a big gambler, you get on their list and they want you to come back. So I get offers, even though I'm a local, I get offers from the Hard Rock Hotel for $49 nights, you know.
Do you ever do
during
it?
The week?
Do you ever just
we
go
haven't home? Done it, but I think we would. I mean, we just there's just never been a... Truth is, I really like my own bed.
Right.
It is nice to go to a hotel and not have to think about stuff, you know,
right.
Sometimes. And we will, it's not incomprehensible that we would do that. We just haven't done it. We haven't been here that long. We've only been here 3.5 years.
But there's
years.
Nothing better than hotel sex, right?
That's true. Yeah, that's true. That's true. It is. You're right.
There's something. I don't
it
care.
It is.
If,
yeah, you're right. I'm
there's something about
on,
hotel.
Yeah.
Because my girlfriend may say something to me, but every once in a while she'll just go, you know, we want to have hotel sex.
But you go to a local hotel. Is there one that you go to?
No,
don't. So you.
I haven't done that either. But,
oh, okay.
But you live in a place where you could get a better hotel. It's not like I'm just going to go. Hey, do you want to go down to the Red Roof Inn tonight?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've stayed in the Denver Holiday Inn. It's fine. $100, $110 or whatever.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
And there wasn't any crack in the drawer next to the bed.
I didn't look, but yeah, it was okay.
I did that one night in L.A. I used to stay at a hotel that I liked.
Oh, you've got to have unbelievable hotel stories,
I've
right?
got some hotel stories. Well,
you probably stay in a hotel at least 100 nights a year?
At least.
Okay. And so you've had everything from, oh, my God, this is my room, to, oh, my God, this is my room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That being both end of, of the scale.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, I was going to say, there's one place that I used to stay. I can't remember the name of it. It was in Pasadena, and it was always nice. It was always one of those that was like books on the shelves, and you felt like it was homey and affordable. And I hadn't been there in like 10 years, and I checked in, and I got to my room, and I was like, what happened? You could just tell it wasn't painted. The bed wasn't made properly. I looked around. I pulled out the drawer next. There was those little plastic bags that drugs, you know, the little tiny bags that drugs come in.
Yeah.
They're in the, and I immediately walked back downstairs and go, I'm not staying. I want my money back. I've never, ever done that before. But this is from a hotel that I enjoyed. I stayed there over and over. I had recommended to people in the past. And now as I sit here and say that, I go,
right.
Oh, God, I hope they didn't go, he stays here.
Right.
But yeah. That, and then there's the other that you walk in, like you said, and go, oh. I immediately call the girlfriend and go, you're not going to believe this.
Right.
There's a TV above the toilet.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of, in Vegas, there's a lot of nice rooms. And the truth is, you can get, during the week, you can get a really nice room for not a lot of money. Weekends, that's when everyone comes here, and especially during the season, you know, I think they're almost to the point where they get the rack rate, you know, the $400 a night for an average room, you know. But I've stayed in some terrible places. And
what's
some
the word? What's
but
what's
I'm trying
the,
to think. I whatever story I have can't match yours, just because I haven't traveled that much.
All right, here's my worst of ever.
You mean the one in Pasadena with the crack files?
That's not the worst.
Okay.
That's not even the finding the used condom in my bed story.
Well, the worst part of about that story was the word used. Because, by the way, once you find the condom in the bed, I assumed it wasn't in the package.
Well, that's it right there. And you beat me to it. I was not going to say. I don't even know if it was used.
But if it's
not out of the packet.
Right. I'm out.
It's out.
Yeah.
So I'm in bed. I've gotten in bed. I slide under the covers. I've laid there for a minute. I've watched a little TV. I turn over and go, what the fuck just touched my toe? Throw it back. Condom in the bed.
Wow.
So that was...
Well, that tells you everything you need to know about the place, because they didn't even change the sheet, right? They didn't even change the sheet.
But is that the place or is that the maid? That's where I go, you know, because did you get a lazy maid? Was the end of the day? That's why a lot of times I'll look anywhere I go now. Not if it's a nice one. I just... Did they go, look, they didn't mess up the bed. I'll pull it up and... tuck it back in.
I could see that would give you shell shock. That'd give you PTSD, that incident.
That would right there?
Yeah. And so I could see why now anytime you go into a hotel room, the first thing you're doing is ripping the sheets open to see if there's a used condom there.
I check. And what I do when I leave a hotel...
I wouldn't even accuse you of being OCD if you did that.
Okay, good.
I get it.
And the other thing I do now is when I leave a room, I tear everything off the bed. I do. Because I will.
That's like destroying your garnishes at a restaurant, so that just in case
you're not putting my parsley on somebody else's potato. But I do. I'll just grab the corner as I'm leaving the room and just jerk everything off the bed.
So that's generous of you. They have to remake it, so you might as well just put fresh sheets on. Yeah.
So here's my real horror story. I'm late to a comedy club in Omaha, and I go to the hotel, drop off my stuff. Run to the show, do the show. I go back to the room that night, and I'm tired, and I get in the bed, and I spend the night in the bed, and I watch TV, and I'm there all day in my room. And that night, I'm getting ready to go to the show, and so I'm now basically going to use the bathroom for the first time. I've got a shower and everything. So as I get in, I've got to close the door to get into the shower. When I close the door, there's two massively bloody towels.
Oh,
behind the door.
No.
And I don't mean like, oh, you had a nosebleed.
Someone was murdered here.
I swear to God, that's what it looked like. It was two massively, like, these are bloody towels.
Wow.
So I call the front desk. I can't leave the desk right now.
Yeah, what would you like me to do, sir?
Well,
yeah,
what would you like me to do? Well, what do you want me? Like, I have two. There's been a murder. I'm afraid to turn over my mattress. There might be a body in one of those box springs.
Wow. That's
so
nasty.
I had spent the day and night in a room.
Right.
Does that shit get in the air? Is that, you know what I mean? Does blood give off some kind of like?
And are you going to be arrested for the crime?
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now your handprints are on the bloody towels.
Yeah.
Yep. Next thing you know.
I touched the door.
You're being arraigned.
Sir, you were the last one seen.
Yeah. Wow,
so
that's nasty.
I brought up that story on air when I was doing radio one day about that. What's your worst? And
hotel horror stories.
Yeah, and I had a housekeeper from Vegas that used to live here. She called the show and said,
"Oh, they must see some crazy shit."
Found a finger.
Oh my god!
They found a finger behind the head. You know, some of the hotels had the headboards that go on the wall.
The
wall. They found a black and dried. Part of a finger on the...
Well, who lost that and didn't do something about it?
How much crime goes on in this city? You know what I mean? Yeah. What gangster would go, put your finger behind that. Bam! Now I want my money. You know what I mean?
Right. You're not reporting that. Yeah. Wow. No, there must be all kinds of shenanigans that go on here. Because people come here with the attitude of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And so people take that literally and they think that it's just a lawless town. I can do whatever I want. I can rape and pillage all I can handle.
But that saying was before cell phone cameras. I swear they need a new logo because didn't somebody get a shot of Prince Harry's balls or something recently?
Yeah, it's true. You got to be a little more careful now. And you know, the cops here, you ever watch some of the shows Cops, for example, the show films here in Vegas because I guess they have a relationship with Metro. And there's another show called like Vegas Strippers or Vegas PD or something like that. And the cops, all they do is talk about how people come here from out of town thinking they can do anything, that we have no laws.
Yeah.
And so you'll see some guy, you know, urinating in public and a cop will pull him aside and go, "What were you thinking?
I'm in Vegas, buddy.
I'm
in Vegas.
Yeah, I paid for my room. I can't pee on the street."
Yeah.
No, these people live here, as it turns out.
Yeah, I had a friend. I will have to say I didn't see it, but I know she told me, and her husband
witnessed
a couple having sex outside the Flamingo. So, just like in the shadows up against the. And it wasn't like a hooker. It was as you and I saw walking around.
Right.
Look, Idaho's here.
Yeah.
So it was those people that just think, hey, we're in Vegas. Right. It's all.
And it's out. And it's fueled by, because alcohol's everywhere here. And so people just, you know, lose their inhibitions.
So it's why a great place to bring your kids.
It is a great place to bring your kids. You know, there was a time Vegas was trying to do that where they thought that once Vegas has gone through these different eras. I'm kind of fascinated by Vegas history now that I'm a local, and so I kind of absorb it whenever I hear it. But once the mob era ended in Vegas and corporate owned everything, you know, there people talk about the mafia. There's no mafia here. Everyone's in a union, and the union's not mobbed up, and the corporations that are traded on the New York Stock Exchange own everything.
So you think there really is no gangster ties here anymore?
No, it's too regulated. It's too controlled. The game, there's too much money to not oversee it. So all those people have been washed out. They've been pushed out. So I don't think. I mean,
But now you're talking about the time when like early 90s.
Early 90s,
let's put an amusement park in here.
Right. So then what the corporations decided was, we need to, you know, they're always trying to think of how do we fill up the hotels, how do we get people to gamble in the casinos. And so there was a time, once the gangster era ended, mobster era ended, then came corporate, and the corporate said, let's be family friendly, let's be Disney for the kids and let the parents have their wild ways.
We'll be Branson with hookers.
Exactly. And I think that didn't work because that all went away. You know, there's like a the Excalibur Hotel was built in that era, which is, my wife calls that the medieval Chuck E. Cheese.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, the Circus, another one, which just, they're just old, decrepit, lousy. You just don't want to stay there. And the pyramid, you know, the Luxor, the pyramid-shaped building.
Is Luxor not the deal
good.
Anymore?
No, not good. It's low end. It's low end. Yeah. Didn't you know that?
No.
Never been inside?
That's been a long time.
But it's low end.
Chris Angel's down there.
Oh, well, if Chris Angel performs there, then it must be top notch.
Isn't Carrot Top down at the Luxor?
I actually saw Carrot Top here at the MGM.
Yeah, he used to be there like all the time here.
And he's not now? Somewhere else?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
But Chris Angel...
Are you a big Chris Angel fan?
I just know who he is, and it's supposed to be like Mind Freak.
You know, anything that's in Vegas that's a show that stays here is good. It just wouldn't last. You couldn't sell tickets to stuff that even the talking puppet guy is supposed to be Terry Fader.
Supposed to
be unbelievable. The show's supposed to be fantastic.
You haven't seen this.
I have. My daughter saw it and said it's the greatest thing she's ever seen. So... what I'm saying is, anything that's here permanently or for a long period of time
is good.
As much as you might want to make fun of it,
the
reality is it's probably a great show, and you'd be wowed by all the
Wayne Newton,
all the Cirque du Soleil. Wayne Newton hasn't performed here in years, but I know people who've, and this was 20 years ago, we could have this conversation,
Mr. Las Vegas,
where people would say, mock and joke all you want, but go pay your $50 and see Wayne Newton. It's the greatest show you'll ever see.
Donkey Shane, darling, Donkey Shane.
Here's what he was supposed to be really great at. He plays like 20 instruments. Did you know that?
No.
He plays guitar. He plays banjo. He plays drums. He plays everything. And you go, well, this guy's amazing. How is it that he's, you know... here in Vegas, and the truth is, he sold a lot of tickets for a lot of years. And as much as we might want to make fun, same with David Copperfield.
And then George Wallace came along and said, "Move over, new Mr. Las Vegas is here."
Do you know George?
Yeah,
you perform with him?
I have not performed with him in years. I've done sets with him, like at the Improv in Hollywood years and years ago. And
now,
we know each other.
I know stand-ups hate prop comics, right? Uh-huh. It's almost an axiom. Like anyone who does what you do for a living. You really look down on the guy that, right?
Except for Carrot Top. I say that as an honest...
Well, that's where I was going.
Yeah, except for Carrot Top. There's guys that just
Well, Gallagher's a prop comic. You think he's...
But he started off as a word comic.
Was he?
Yeah,
okay.
And Gallagher, I talked to him about it one night down at the Tropicana, because he was down there.
Uh-huh.
He just sort of... When he got on Make Me Laugh, do you remember that TV show?
Sure.
He said he had to turn stuff so fast that he was just trying to come up with something.
Anything.
What can I do to make him laugh? And his act evolved. And I shouldn't say, I will give Gallagher his props because he had some pretty creative stuff too.
Yeah.
And Scott Thompson, Carrot Top.
Right.
Is stand-up and props.
Well, I saw him, it's 90% props and 10% stand-up. And it's funny.
Yeah.
He's good.
And he's got a show with laser lights.
It's a show. It's a show, and it's totally entertaining, and it was packed.
Yeah.
The house was packed, and I had, you know, I laughed a lot. I thought he was really funny. And as much as you kind of, there's certain people that you want to make fun of because, and Wayne Newton's in that category, and Chris Angel is in that category, but if you went and saw them, I haven't seen either of those guys.
Yeah.
But I know... that if I saw them, I would go, well, that's a show.
That blew me away.
That's
and awesome. I can say that about Engelbert Humperdinck, because who would have thought Engelbert Humperdinck would put on a great show, but one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life by, what is he, got to be in his 70s or older by now, that same kind of Tom Jonesy thing.
Right.
I was blown away. Voice is still there.
Right.
Voice is still good. Cover songs. You're like, God, he did a better version of that than the...
Right.
So, you know, it just depends on what you... It's the show. That's... I'm talking right now, I think I might have mentioned this to you, about possibly doing a tour with Cletus T. Judd. Did I tell you this?
I don't know what that is.
Cletus is the country Weird Al Yankovic.
Okay, all right. Okay.
And if Cletus is listening...
That's very specific.
And if Cletus is listening to this, don't be offended.
Okay.
Fuck, you know you are. But he's where they we've been talking about possibly trying to tour together because it's time and blue collars basically.
What is he parody? What is his, song parodies?
Country. He does a lot of the just country. You know.
The name sounds familiar, but was there also?
I shaved my back for this was one of his things, which was great big song was I shave my legs for this was a country song. He did Shania, you know, this kiss, but it was Christmas was his. His hit, and he just had a recent one with Toby Keith's song "Red Solo Cup," "Red Solo Cup." He did "Double D Cup."
Okay,
so he had a parody with that. But we've been talking about possibly touring together, and I was talking to a big club owner about doing it, and he goes, "I think you guys would be great together. What's your show going to be?" Feel the pause. I did that too. What is the You can't just be two guys coming out and doing their stuff.
Why not? Why can't it be that?
Because, like you said, in this day and age, what's the show?
I'm not sure he's right. I think if you're a good stand-up and you're a good song parodyist, how does he do it? Does he have a band with him and he does the songs live?
Sometimes he does. A lot of times it's tracks. It's mostly tracks. I was thinking it should be a band.
I think he needs a band.
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah.
That it might be a band because we both... You know,
then you got to split it 19 ways, right?
Right. There's another one of those deals. So now, if somebody wants to invest and make a bigger tour, that would be great.
Yeah.
The idea it has to be a show or at least
you can give it a name. I mean, I understand that it needs to have something that encompasses both of you that you can just say a word like Redneck Comedy Tour.
Right.
Or I get that. Because it almost doesn't really matter who the elements are as long as when the elements show up, they're all solid, right?
We had one person say you ought to call it the Judd Flap Show because, you know, my radio name was Mud Flap, but I don't think a lot of people will understand that. Judd Flap is not the...
No, but I mean, that can't be the hard part. The hard part is... Is that enough? Are those two elements enough on their own? I actually think if you're good and he's good, then you're getting two for one, right?
Right.
Isn't that kind of how you look at it?
Yeah. And we have thought about it would possibly be maybe hire somebody open 15, 20 minutes just to get it. Look forward. Show's about to start. And then he would do it, and I would do it, and we might flip-flop.
Well, you know those guys. You know comics that do.
Right.
You know,
and then we would come back out and either do improv or take questions or maybe, you know, possibly do a song together or something like that. So,
is he also in Denver? Is he also...
No, he's back in Kentucky.
Uh-huh. So. Well, that's a little bit hard. How do you get all the elements together, and especially if you got to get a band? I mean, that's a big deal. I say this all the time whenever I see traveling musicians. Thank God I was born with no musical talent. Because if I was and I had to go be a traveling musician, what a shitty life that's got to be. Wouldn't you think?
Oh, it's got to be worse because at least as a comic, we go
for... No, you're the star. Well, no, but you're one guy and you're a star. But what if you're one of 19 musicians that back up a star?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're not even talking about
you get paid... How much can they pay you to be...
You're getting union
right.
to sit back there.
How much are they paying the trombone player in a band with 15 people... And your name is not... No one cares.
Well,
no one knows who you are.
I've never asked you this, and you might know. What about Guns N' Roses with Lisa's husband, who was a back... Wasn't he a...
He played keyboards and stuff. So
wasn't the front
well,
four.
If you say who's Guns N' Roses, it's Slash, it's Welcome to the Jungle. Axl Rose. You're not Duff McKay or whatever. Yeah. So you're not those guys. That's true.
You weren't on the T-shirt is what I'm saying.
You're not on the T-shirt. And I don't think he played with Guns N' Roses. He's not really in Guns N' Roses, right? There is a difference.
Well, I didn't know because...
It's a difference.
Because I know you play. Like, I know when John Denver had his band that constantly was with him, Hal Blaine on percussions and Joe Strummer, that's the Clash, but Joe Summers was so there are certain guys that, you know, they travel
with
that's what I thought Freddie was.
No, Teddy.
Teddy, sorry, Teddy. No, sorry, Lisa. Sorry, I apologize.
No, he's just a really talented musician that they know can play anything, and so they can. And he, you know, he also tours with
Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper, and he also tours with James Taylor and with Tapestry. What's her name?
Carole King.
Carole King.
So he's the perfect guy that so we should know that much money. How much did they pay you back there?
And I think if you knew what the real number is, you'd be shocked how little it is. You'd be shocked. But there's a guy who was born with musical talent and followed that muse. And my guess is the money has never been why he does what he does.
Like real rock star money.
I'm pretty sure it's never been that. But aside from that, it's always been I'm just being paid enough to do what I love to do, which is I want to go perform my music in front of a crowd of people, even if they'll never know who I am, never know my name, but I got to tour with Guns N' Roses, which is pretty cool, right?
That's really cool. Yeah, that is really, really cool.
Yeah, or with Carole King or whoever. So, but I wouldn't want to be him, and there's guys that are way lower than him on the musical totem pole. You know, he's at least a keyboard player's right up front.
Yeah, he's not the guy just standing there with a triangle, right? Waiting.
He's not one of, you know, a six-piece brass set. Those guys, I just don't understand. I mean, I just thank God I didn't have to go do that because, that's a tough life. You know, that's a tough life. First of all, no money, traveling all the time, and any event, New Year's Eve. You know, Valentine's Day.
Well, that's us, too. You're like, out. My girlfriend, where are you going to be? Well, New Year's, I'm going to be somewhere in the Caribbean. And, you know, we miss the holidays because people still want to do, they want to do their parties.
Right.
But what I can't think about when the guys travel, at least the bands get to travel in a good style.
No, they don't.
Not the band, but the stars. You know,
the stars are staying in
these bands.
Shania Twain's traveling nicely, but I'll bet the people that back her up, probably the it's not as nice. It's not even half as nice as you'd like to think it is. It's 19 of them in one bus, where she's one in one bus.
Right, and I think the other hard part would be for any musician, bands, major stars, anything, is the fact that, like, I come to Vegas for a week, sometimes clubs 2 weeks, cruise ships two. I unpack my bags for 2 weeks. Bands are like, we're Monday night in Toledo, Tuesday night Omaha,
right.
And Wednesday night we're in, like,
right.
That's got to be exhausting.
Think about this. I mean, I know this may be an extreme example, but Buddy Holly died in a little shitty airplane, single-engine airplane, piloted by like an 18-year-old. And Buddy Holly was a big star. I mean, he's a bigger star now because he died sort of at the... But he was a big star. They didn't have... You know, he was in a little shithole, you know, four-seater, six-seater airplane, along with, the Big Bopper and Rich Valens.
Thank God Waylon said, no, you go ahead and take my seat.
Yeah, yeah. That was the way musicians traveled back then, is they went in.
And
little,
that's why there's a lot of dead ones. Patsy Cline, Buddy Holly,
yeah.
Jim Croce, Skinnert. I mean, look at all these bad private little jumper planes. Don't do that, ever. If you're a musician, stay out of a tiny plane.
What was it? Remember, there was a woman, the Latina star, and she was in a jet, and the jet crashed in Mexico.
Yeah.
Remember? But she was actually from California. But she was a huge star in Mexico.
Yeah,
and she was
remember
on a,
that last year.
And
she was gonna, soap opera or something.
She was on a soap opera.
She was about to bust big again, they said.
Right. It wasn't Selena. I can't remember her name, though. But she was like a huge star. Mm-hmm. And she was going to buy that plane. And so was like a test ride in the plane.
By the way, her name is in front of here, out here in front of the MGM on one of the stars. I mean, that's how, I didn't know who she was. But somebody said, oh, you know, there's that. I go, oh, yeah, that's the singer that.
Right.
Was so they couldn't find pieces or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's another one. But she was in a real plane. It just happened to be an old one that probably shouldn't have been flying.
But a small, tiny plane.
Well, it was a jet, but it was a little, you know, six-seater Lear or something. They were trying to sell her that old plane, and I think it was mechanically.
Well, there went that sale. Well, we're at the hour
here. How much
time?
Really? 1 hour?
1 hour
knocked it out. Okay.
1 hour and 8 minutes. Didn't feel like that, did it?
Didn't, no. We like talking to each other, as it turns out.
It's fun. Yeah. Because I like the fact that we can both take it down any direction that we want to. Like,
yeah.
Did you have that feeling on your
Never.
No?
No.
No. What about your talk show on Talk Radio 1? Let's plug your show before we go.
All right. Yeah, so usually three nights a week we knock out a show on talkradio1.com. If you don't listen to the live show at 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, you can catch a podcast. It's free. So you just go to talkradio1.com. It's also on TuneIn and a couple other places. But just come to the website. Check it out. I have a woman in New York named Dina who's kind of my...
She does it in lingerie, right?
I don't... You know, here's the thing. This is weird. We've done the show for 3 years together. We've never met.
What? Huh?
I know. Isn't that bizarre?
How did you randomly pick somebody that...
She was a friend of a friend, and I had her on. It's really kind of a funny story. When Michael Jackson died, I asked a friend of mine, hey, do you know anyone who's like a Michael Jackson savant? He goes, I got the perfect woman for you. He said, her name's Dina. Call her up. Here's her number. She'll come on with you. So I called her up, and we had her on, and she was great right out of the box. So I just had this feeling that she'd want to do this more often. And she had some radio. She'd like worked in college in radio, and she had a job here and there. She worked at Sony for a while. And so she had sort of on the outskirts of radio, but never
fringe
her
industry
own,
stuff.
But never a talk show host or anything like that. So I invited her back on a couple nights later, and then I had her on again. And we just said, let's just do this every night. So she's been on with me almost every night for over 3 years. And then recently we found this guy. He sent me an email saying, we sort of put out a casting call to someone. Is this interesting? Do you want to hear this?
Yeah, because we got to plug your stuff too.
So we put out a casting call. Does someone, would you like to audition to be our news guy? And so we put out a cast call. I got a bunch of people that were interested. And, you know, some were sort of more passing than active. And one guy wrote, and he wrote this so self-effacing, I'm a fat guy that smokes pot, and I have no education. I didn't even graduate high school, but I love your show, and I'd love for you to give me a shot. And it was so, I'm such a piece of shit loser that I thought, it might be funny. Let's put him on.
So you don't even introduce him by go. And now here's the loser with the news.
You know what? He's such a good guy, and he's turned out to be such an integral part. And the audience loves him. Loves him. And he works. His day job is he works on an assembly line putting brackets together for a snowmobile company. And he doesn't even know what he's really doing. Like he doesn't know where the bracket goes, but he just does this assembly line, totally mindless shit job. He lives in on the outskirts of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Have you met him?
I have not met him either. No. And we've had him on for, I feel like it's been like 6 or 8 months that we've had him on. And he's awesome. He's awesome. He's really bright. Really bright. No education, but really bright and
loves
funny
what he's doing.
And loves being on with us and knows how to hang back, which is a real skill. Because if you got three people fighting for mic time, it's terrible radio.
Yeah. Then it's called the Bobby Bones Show. But no, you may not.
Who did you just throw into the... Who's Bobby Bones? Who's that?
I'll be so in trouble. That's the new big syndicated country morning.
Oh.
The morning show.
It's just, it's a zoo. Yeah,
six of them made in the room doing just what we just did. Hey, well, you know...
Right. Everyone's fighting for mic time. Yeah. Bad radio. So John DeWall is his name. He knows how to just hang back. And when he interjects something, it's gold every time. There's never a word wasted.
Yeah.
And he's just he's 30 years old. He's a kid. Never been on the radio, never done anything in entertainment, never wanted to be a stand-up or wanted to be a talk show host. But he was just the right guy at the right time. And he's been awesome. And we love him. And the audience loves him.
And that's a real talent. I mean,
yes,
that is
absolutely
a real talent. I used to say to my old program director, you know, to go, I didn't hear you a lot. Yeah, but what I said was funny, didn't I? Because I was the sidekick. It was, you know, Kelly,
right.
Jonathan, and Mudflap. I was the sidekick. And my job was to be funny. So if you sit there, wait for the right moment, and you've paid attention to the whole conversation, I jump out with the line.
That's all you
boom,
need.
Boom, punch out, we're
right.
done.
Right, 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 right.
And I think that's more important than trying to fight for, well, let me tell you what I think about that.
Right, 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 right. Exactly. No, that's who he is. So it's almost always the three of us, and then there's someone else usually joins in. So, you know, we have a buddy, a mutual friend named Tom Looney. That's really his name, and he's on Fox Sports Radio during the week. He does a late night show with JT the Brick, and he loves to come on because it's his time. Instead of he being the sidekick, he sort of gets to have some spotlight. Yeah. And we love to wind him up and just, you know. And he also, he's got one thing that I know nothing about is sports, and he's on a sports radio show. And so he'll bring in the big sports stories of the week, and so we always mix it up with him. And then Regan Burns, another guy we have on, who's the star of a Disney show called Dog with a Blog. He plays the dad.
Not Dog with a Blog.
He plays the dad on Dog with a Blog, and he's super funny comic actor. Regan Burns comes on with us, and there's a woman named Sharon the Gossamo. So we have all these different characters that kind of come in and out of the show. They're real people, and so that's what it is.
I think the real people thing is great. I mean, that just having that is really good. I remember Adam Carolla years ago used to do the guy that he would just bring in for a movie review. Did you ever
hear
that?
No,
he was like, here's the Mexican with the movie review.
Uh-huh.
It was just so.
Oh, yeah, it was a guy he worked with as a construction worker.
Yeah, it was guy that was like.
Yeah, but the
and
joke
I seen
was.
And I seen the movie, and I thought it was okay. You know, but it really was just some
was
guy
fun.
That
right.
he brought off the street.
Right, right.
I've always loved that kind of stuff. That's one of the things I used to love about Letterman years ago.
Oh, I talked about this a couple weeks ago on my show.
Wasn't that remember when Letterman used to just
weirdos,
this is the oldest elevator operator,
right? Or you know, the potato chip lady,
yeah.
or whatever,
yeah.
whatever. And that's I was saying how I wanted to be David Letterman, right? And so many people we know, you know, our contemporaries. That's what
he was so good.
Turned
at
our
that.
Heads around and said, okay, this is, you know, this you can have this.
You're gonna win a ham tonight.
Dropping shit off a roof.
Yeah.
I mean, for just to see it explode on the ground and stuff. Just idiotic, stupid, pointless.
Now let's hear from the guy under the stairs. Remember the under the stairs guy?
Yeah. But that's, I agree with you. And now when you watch Letterman, he's just, as smart as he is, as fast and as funny
and
as he
still as
is,
funny as he is. You miss all, because here's what it's going to be. Here's the monologue.
Here's
let's
top
sit down.
10 list.
Here's top
here's,
10.
Yeah.
And then, here's the guest. And now here's the musical guest because we're going to leave.
Right.
It's all,
right.
That's the,
no, it's real formulaic, and he's still great, but the show's not good. It's really. I used to watch. Do you remember the morning show?
I do.
So I used to stay home from school so I could watch the morning show. That's what a crazy Letterman fan I was. And I actually became very good friends. This is going to go way long now.
That's okay.
So. I became very good friends with Meryl Marco, who was...
one of the writers.
She was the head writer, and she was also Dave Letterman's girlfriend. They lived together for 15 years. And I became very good friends. I'm still really good friends, although I haven't talked to her in about a year. But she's been to my house a bunch of times for dinner, and I've been to her house, and I know her boyfriend, Andy Preboy, is a musician. So I've known them I've known Meryl for 15 years. I mean, really good friends. And... one time we were talking about, and she knows I'm a crazy Letterman fan, right? But I also respect that's an ex-boyfriend of hers, and I don't really want to ask her too many things, and because that's
so. What was he like in bed?
I don't want to ask, but she always volunteered. She'd give you little nuggets every now and then. So one time, and I'd been to the house that she's in Malibu is the house that she and Letterman bought. When they lived in New York, and they would come out on the weekends to hang out, which is around the corner from where Johnny Carson lived, which was Letterman's hero, was Carson. So I said to her once, I said, you know, did people ever, and her house is just on the street. It's not in a gated community or anything. There is a fence, but the fence is like you could push it over. I mean, it's like a wooden fence that's old and rickety and. So I said, did people come and knock on the door and say, is Dave here? You know, and she said, we'd get that. She said, you know, every couple weeks if we were out from New York and we were here, we'd get, you know,
maybe one or two a month, someone coming by or someone screaming something as they drove by. And she said,
I like caution better.
She said it was always like a 17-year-old kid, kind of like what you would have been at 17. Uh-huh. I said, it's very funny because when I was 17, me and a buddy got in the car and we drove around Malibu trying to find where Letterman lived because we knew that he kept an old truck out front. Uh-huh. He was famous for having the truck that he drove out from Indianapolis to L.A. And so we wanted to, you know, try and find. We never did find the house. And the truth is, I was way off where I thought, because Malibu is actually a pretty big place.
Yeah.
And where she lives, I thought they would be like in the colony or on the beach or something like that. And they're actually a couple blocks back.
You want to get the exact location?
But anyway, I never would have found it. But that, it, you know what? I wonder if my buddy and I would have given each other the courage to let's go knock on the door and see.
You would have. You know, you would have.
I might. I'm really good. I've always, even as a kid, I sort of wanted to respect people's privacy, and I wasn't a punk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't.
I can.
But
relate,
Letterman, but I might have done that. I might have because I was such a big fan. Even to have him come to the door and go away would have been. I would have told that story for 10 years.
Letterman told me to go away. But I can relate. I did that to John Denver because I'm a huge John.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay.
Huge John Denver fan.
How about aviation? Are you a fan of aviation? Or,
not anymore.
No.
of
experimental planes?
It steals our heroes. But
where were you when Aspen? Where were you when John Denver died?
I was at home in Denver. He died on my birthday, by the way.
Wow.
Which, thank you for that gift, Lord. And I had gone to run to get some coffee early in the morning, and I came back and I was on the radio that a plane belonging to John Denver had crashed.
Right.
It was not that it was him.
Right.
And then when it broke that it was him, I do remember like just tearing up and like, oh my God, I've lost John Denver.
I'll tell you a story that I know that I wonder if you know. The plane he was in was called a Long EZ. Are you familiar with it? It was an experimental plane?
No, I know.
Plane.
I read what the plane was, but I only know it's experimental.
Do you know why it crashed?
There was a switch he didn't
get. That's right. The gas tank, to switch from one tank to the other, was like underneath your legs or behind your back or something. And he was running out of fuel because it didn't have a fuel gauge. It was an experimental plane. It didn't have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was... the Long EZ was developed by the guy who built the plane or came up with the design for the plane is an aeronautical genius. He's doing all this stuff with the reusable rockets and the stuff that, I mean, he's unbelievable.
So killing John Denver didn't kill his career?
No, it didn't because the plane wasn't manufactured by them.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like a kit plane where you get this, you buy his plans. I want to say Chuck Yeager, but it's not Chuck Yeager. It's Chuck.
Like Radio Shack. Get the plans. Build you an airplane.
That's kind of what you do, or you hire someone to build it for you based on the plans. And everyone kind of knew that there was this design flaw of having to change tanks, but I think he was so low that when he went to change tanks and was out of fuel, the truth is it's a great glider. The mm-hmm. plane is actually does really well without fuel, but he was so low that he just crashed into the ocean and bye-bye. So, but he was a weird guy. He had adopted kids. He had two kids that were adopted. And do you know what happened to his kids? What became of them?
No. After that, you're like, oh, John Denver's gone. Doesn't really matter. Where's he going to play his CD somewhere? But I always hated that the last joke I ever heard about John Denver was... You know what John Denver's last hit was? Monterey Bay. That's horrible. That's
yeah. So how did we get off on John Denver? Where did that come from?
Oh,
the heroes of people Letterman. You'd like to
yeah. Because I did that to John Denver.
You did, but he didn't.
He lives in Aspen.
Aspen,
Starwood, and did the whole thing at one. Is that John's house? Is that John's house? You think that's John's house? Does that look like pictures I've seen of John's? We did that exact same thing. And I heard, and I think if my sister hears this, she could back it up, because I think my sister did the same thing and caught a glimpse of him. Like, he's over there. Mm. Like heading across a big field toward a house. So,
but you didn't actually see
no.
him.
No,
and I didn't
do
that. You didn't knock on the door and, yeah. Or
go away!
Push the
John Denver told me go away!
push the intercom button. Yeah. Or, yeah. But you know what we'll do now that I've told you this? We'll go haunt the actor. We started talking about him.
Nick Cage?
Nick Cage. Well, I'll show you Nick. It's really close to here, actually. It's just on the other side of the 15.
Do you think I could get him to come in and come see a show? And
see, that's the weird thing is you just don't. He's such a weird guy, and his persona is so strange that you don't know if he's, hey, guys, how you doing? Oh, really, you're a performer? Oh, that's great. Hey, good luck with that. Or he's like, you know,
got
runs
a gun
the
in
other,
his head.
Runs,
get off!
Yeah, get off my lawn. Yeah, I don't know what he is. I know that he's, now that he's got a wife and a kid, he's mellow, and he shows up in places, and you'll go to like a yogurt shop, and there's a picture of the yogurt shop owner with his, you know, with Nick Cage's arm around him. So you get the sense that he's at least affable and friendly enough. Can I take a picture? And he's like, no, I don't take pictures.
Yeah, $20.
I don't sign autographs. I get the sense that he's not that way, but I don't know. But again, his house, you'll be shocked when I show you the house. It's not a dump. It's just not a movie star's house. Not a guy who's made. You know, his movies grossed well over $1 billion.
Worldwide. They love him in Asia.
And maybe $2 or $3 billion. Whatever it is, he's a big star. And when you see him, he's just a balding, you know, 50-year-old guy, right? He's, you know, he's me.
But he gets good wigs.
Some are, yeah. We've talked about wigs, too. And we're talking about would you wear a wig? And I said, if I could get the, like, William Shatner.
Uh-huh. Well, you can't tell at
piece.
All.
That's a great piece, right? And if I could have that and not have to spend a lot of time and money managing it,
I
might wear a piece. But
what about a hair transplant? You ever thought about it?
I have thought
I did
about it.
Because I did it.
You
knew
did
I
did it.
You knew
I did
it.
Not know
no,
that.
I did it.
No.
Yeah. And I've actually talked to somebody about
so
pasta.
So the only way that you could have the hair you have now.
Is a transplant.
Okay, I wasn't going to say that.
Uh-huh.
If you had a transplant, you have the hair you have now, you have to take Propecia or something to keep it still. You have to take something.
No. Well,
what?
No. The when you get a hair transplant, they take it from the back of you.
I understand.
You know the whole part.
I know how it works.
And that hair never falls out.
I thought it does.
No, if the hair that they
No, but the other stuff around it starts.
Well, that's why I'm thinking about having another one. I lost more of my own hair.
Well, that's
I thought
right.
at my age, you know,
no.
She's like, oh, you're never going to be bald. You know, like, okay, well, I'm not, but now I'm thinning more than, but
right.
I do, now I'm doing the minoxidil.
Oh, okay, so you do have to do something to keep
it. For the past 6 months, I've been doing
you
that.
Have
she goes,
to.
She goes, well, let's
and
put you
have
on this
do that
for a while.
For life. You'll have to do that forever.
No.
Yeah.
So,
but why would you do another one? What would you? You want it lower on your forehead? What do you
want? I want a caveman forehead.
Well, here's what I told my wife this. You know where there's so much money invested in research on male pattern body. I mean, it's you know as much money we invest in HIV and AIDS. Everything they invest in. So we're really close. In fact, I read an article just recently.
They may have found it.
That they think that they can grow hair on mice.
Yeah.
And so I told my wife, I'll bet you by the time my son is a junior in high school, by the time he graduates college, that's maybe 5 years, they'll have a cure for baldness. A cure.
Yeah.
Where it's not, no surgery, no, either you take a pill or they zap your head or they plant little something.
Whatever they
whatever.
Do.
Or you wipe some cream on and you're going to have hair. So I don't, it's funny, I don't think about my hair except when I look in the mirror and I go, fuck. And I know it makes me look older because people think I'm older than I am because I've lost my hair. And because the rest of me, I'm not all wrinkled up.
No, not at all.
My face looks young and I don't do
totally,
it. I'm not a metrosexual, so I don't really care that much. But I know that my hair makes me look, being bald makes me look old, and people treat you differently.
Yeah,
I
know that for me, for the times that, even though my hair is long, if I pull it back or I have it under a hat or something, I definitely know the you're older look.
Uh-huh,
you know, because there's something about just your face makes you look older. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean. But I would never guess however they did your hair I would never guess you had a hair transplant. And I like that you're open about it too, because there's really nothing to be ashamed. It's like any of I had my nose done who cares, right?
Yeah.
What are the results?
And I'm happy to go.
I've seen people have hair transplants, especially the old where it looked like
that
the
was
doll
the doll.
Hair.
It was the doll hair.
Wow, that's a bad look. There was a sales guy at one of the radio stations I worked at, and he had it done. I don't know why he hasn't done anything since to fix it, because it's really embarrassing looking.
Is fake. Well, the new thing that is now
the
micrograph. It's one hair at a time. And not only is it just put in, it's artistically put in, like at angles and stuff, like your real hair.
How long ago did you have it done?
I had it done in 2006.
Just one surgery.
I've had two where I was balding like the peninsula thing, you know. Uh-huh. So I had that done. And then in 2009 or 10, it was 10. I had about an inch spot on the very top that was like just the top.
And they do it great. I mean,
she goes, "Oh, I'll fill that in for you." But now years later, and not doing the Propecia, because they do say if you want to do it, you can do the Propecia, but that causes some side effects.
Yeah, yeah. all of it. You know? Every medication has that.
Yeah.
But if you want to keep your hair, because the parts that they didn't fill in, they're gonna atrophy and die. Like the rest of it. I mean, it's called male pattern baldness for a reason. So,
So, but I do have a friend, and definitely since we're friends, this isn't. I'm just telling you this story. But I have a friend who was a sportscaster back in Denver.
Uh-huh.
Totally bald. I mean, just totally bald. Now he has a full head of hair, and
it looks good.
It looks good. Mm-hmm. And what they did with him, they don't transplant, but they reduce the scalp.
Oh yeah. I've heard about that. Yeah,
and that's what they
put a balloon in, and then they
pull the skin closed, and then there's less to cover and transplant.
First of all, I'm not on TV, so I don't feel like I have to have a certain look. And I'm married, so my wife isn't.
Love you the way you are.
Well, the truth is funny. She would like me with hair. I know she would. She doesn't say it. She doesn't go, "I love bald men" or something.
You don't ever just lay the cat on your head and go, "What do you think? Should I get one of these?"
She doesn't like that. My dad had a toupee for a little while, and it was ridiculous. And he didn't keep it upright, and
can't be dark and gray hair underneath it. It can't be.
It matched. It was a good quality one. He went to an expensive place and had it done. But you still got every day. You got to comb it and brush it and put shit in it and go back. And then you got to go and
have it styled once in a while and cleaned it.
So it's a lot of maintenance, and it was a big expense. If you probably cost to do it right, to do it the way William Shatner does it, mm-hmm. I bet it's $20,000 a year to manage that hairpiece.
Damn. You get a hair transplant for that.
I know. One time and
you're
done. Is it 20? I thought about $10,000.
It depends on what you want to get done.
Uh-huh.
It's typically about, I think it's $7 a hair, a graft, they call it.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them run specials where you get it done about $4.50.
Right.
And
you're glad you did it. You have no regrets.
Yeah, the doctor that did mine, Dr. Pauls, and I'm sending you a copy of this, doctor, because we're going to talk. But she did a great job, and she had told me that I would probably be either bald or more bald now if I hadn't done it.
Right.
Because I was losing my hair.
Right. Well, your hair's always been a thing, though. You've always had, I think when I first met you, you had kind of like a big Elvis pompadour sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's always been kind of a signature of yours. And if you came out and you were bald, it would be a little, right?
We've talked about cutting my hair now, too, because it's just the age and time and period and everything. But people totally recognize me by my hair.
Uh-huh, right.
They just recognize. Like, when I was on the radio, most DJs don't get recognized.
Right.
But they'll go, "Mudflap, I saw you in," because of the hair. The other night, I'm walking to the casino here, walking to the casino. And a friend of mine's, the guys are here, called Low Cash Cowboys. They're a country band.
Right.
I'm walking to the casino, and Preston, one of the guys from the band, who I didn't see, he goes, "Hey, Mudflap."
Right, right.
I could just been another white guy
if
I didn't look like I did.
And in truth, part of your performance is your look, right? I mean, it's part of your comedy is your look.
Yeah.
And as much as you'd like to say, "Oh, people should judge you by your jokes," well, no, it's... And, that's why most women who are stars as singers happen to be really good looking.
Right.
Well, that's not an accident. They weed out the really good looking women who sing. I mean, the women who sing really well who aren't really good looking, they don't get to be stars.
Yeah, there was only one Mama Cass.
Exactly. Exactly. You know?
And Janis Joplin would not be here today.
Right.
She would not be here today.
Right. But Janis Joplin, although not classically beautiful, had an interesting look, and that was probably for the time.
Well, perfect for the time. She was that hippie bohemian, bracelets, long hair, beads in the headbands.
Right. And she wasn't hideous. She was just kind of rough looking.
Yeah, come over here and do me up against this car. Oh, Lord. What? Yeah, you know.
And the voice was rough, so kind of it worked for her. But that's part of the performance is what I'm saying, is the way you look is part of it. And so you need, you know, it would be stupid for me, who doesn't perform on TV or on stage, to spend $20,000 on my hair.
Yeah.
That's just vanity.
Right. But that's why I'm thinking about doing it slightly again, only exactly what you said. This is my trademark.
Right, right, right.
You know, I don't want to come out one day and somebody goes, can you see his, why didn't he just cut that off? He's starting to look like the Crypt Keeper. You know?
Right. Yeah, you don't want to become a parody of yourself.
Right.
Look like you're, Anyway. That took us a long... How long did we just...
We are now at a...
Buck 30?
Buck 30. Yeah. So, you want to wrap this up?
Let's do it.
Okay, we'll wrap the... do you want to wrap it up? No, it's my show. What the hell am I... I'm so used to being with you. Well, that's it. I want to say thanks to Mark Germain for coming in and sitting with me. You find him at talkradio1.com. And we'll do this again.
Maybe next time
I'm in Vegas or whatever. We'll do this again. I'm going to leave you by saying make sure you PayPal us. See, when we talked about this earlier?
Yes.
PayPal us. If you like the show, PayPal. If you like the show, subscribe through iTunes or Podbean or wherever.
Tune in.
Well, wherever you find it. You're on TuneIn for sure. Stitcher Radio. All of this shit now. God, I'm a whore. Anyway, thanks. God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu.